Hear now the reading of God's word from the prophet Jeremiah, the 32nd chapter, beginning with the 42nd verse, the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. This is what the Lord says. As I have brought all of this calamity on this people, so I will give them all the prosperity that I have promised them. Once more, fields will be bought in this land of which you say it is a desolate waste without men or animals, for it has been handed over to the Babylonians. Fields will be bought for silver, and deeds will be signed and sealed and witnessed in the territory of Benjamin, in the villages around Jerusalem, in the towns of Judah, and in the towns of the hill country, of the western foothills of the Negev, because I will restore their fortunes, declares the Lord. May God add his blessings to this, the reading of his word. Some years ago, I was traveling from my hometown in West Alabama to the place where I was living and serving at the time. The route took me along U.S. Highway 80, which we chillingly referred to in my hometown as Blood Alley because of the number of fatal accidents that had taken place on that highway over the years. It was on a lonely stretch of road somewhere between Demopolis and Selma that I saw the most unusual of road signs. It was around the time that the Department of Transportation had begun putting up those informational signs. You've seen them now. You've seen so many of them that they don't appear to you new anymore. But at the time, they were very different. They were blue with white lettering, and each of them had a symbol. The highway department had put up these signs to be able to help those who were either illiterate or from another country, people who didn't speak English. They could see the sign and the symbol, and then underneath was some explanation for those who could read English. But what made this sign so strange, so unusual, was how it only had a symbol. There was no explanation. On a blue sign, there was a white question mark in the middle of nowhere. No indication of where the next rest area might be. No way of knowing how far you might have to travel to get to the next welcome center. Nothing about where you can get gas or something to eat. It was just a question mark. That was all. The more I thought about that strange sign, the more I became convinced that the sign was something of a parable of where so many people are today. We have questions. We have lots of questions. And we have no place, we feel, where we can go to get answers. Especially in this time you're watching today, and my guess is, like I do, you have a lot of questions. So many of our questions are how long questions. How long are we going to be asked to endure this disruption? A lot of our questions are what questions? What am I supposed to do in this time of waiting? Most of the questions are why questions, and almost all of them are directed to God. God, why are we going through this challenging time? Why is it that we see life collapsing all around us? Why did you allow such a virus to interrupt our everyday existence? Why? 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 If you think that God is taken aback by these sorts of questions, think again. Because the fact of the matter is that God has had to endure such queries throughout creation, all the way back to the beginning when God breathed into humankind the very breath of life. Our text this morning comes from the prophet Jeremiah, where he represents God and is being called upon to give an answer to the why questions that are being posed by no one less than the king of Jerusalem, Zedekiah. It's a challenging time for Zedekiah. It's a challenging time for everyone in Jerusalem, and for that matter, the entirety of the nation of Judah. Zedekiah himself is feeling feverish and nauseated because all around him, the markets in Jerusalem are collapsing, and businesses in Judah are closing, and the necessities of life that people require are becoming more and more hard to get. And to top it all off, the Babylonians, a very seen enemy, is outside the city gates of Jerusalem, laying siege ramps against the city. And Zedekiah knows that it will not be long before the city will fall to this seen enemy. And so Zedekiah calls upon Jeremiah, God's prophet, to ask, why is Jeremiah insisting on preaching such pessimistic messages at a time when it is evident that the city is about to fall? Why is it that God has brought this particular crisis upon his people? Zedekiah is full of all kinds of why questions. Jeremiah's answer is strange, and it's symbolic. He says to Zedekiah, "You know, Zedekiah, I've prayed about this matter. I've asked the same sorts of questions that you are asking me. And you know what God told me to do? Of all things, He told me to purchase a field, my cousin's field, in Anathoth, in the land of Benjamin. God directed me to redeem that field from my cousin. I know, Zedekiah, it's a crazy thing to do. Who buys a field at a time like this? Didn't make any sense to me. I know that having purchased this field, that I'll more than likely never live to build anything on it. And yet God told me to do so, and so I plunked down 17 shekels of silver, and I bought that field. And when I had signed the deal and sealed it with witnesses, God spoke to me. God spoke to me, Zedekiah. And God asked me a question. A question God asked me. Is there anything too hard for the Lord? Is there anything too hard for the Lord? You've asked that question before. I've asked that question before. I remember asking that question as a college sophomore when I didn't know what I did not know. Asking dumb questions like, can God make a rock so big that not even God can move it? It's easy to ask those kinds of questions when you're sitting in someone's dorm room enjoying ramen noodles with a silver spoon. It's one thing to be able to ask questions like that. Is anything too hard for the Lord? When you are removed from the realities of everyday life. But it's another thing to ask that question when you are in the throes of a crisis. And that's where many of you are today. You're not detached from everyday reality. You are in the throes of a crisis. You might even say that you are in a place of exile. You're not able to be here this morning, to be in the church where you so enjoy gathering Sunday by Sunday. And trust me when I say that those of us who are leading in worship are sad that you're not able to be here with us. And so you're watching on a computer or a tablet or a smartphone or some other type of device. You'd much rather be here. You have your questions. Is God able to do anything about my situation? Is God at work even in this hour? Is this something that God is able to work in so that we might experience even in this hour a work that only God can do? It's one thing to ask that question as a theoretical exercise. Is anything too hard for the Lord? It's another thing to ask it when you are facing an existential threat. What Jeremiah's purchase of his cousin's field in Anathoth reminds us is that in every hour, in the face of every challenge, God is indeed in control. God remembers the promises that God makes to His people, and God is faithful to every single one of them. What Jeremiah's purchase of his cousin's field teaches us is that our future is indeed bright because it is grounded in the faithfulness of God. When we ask that question, is anything too hard for the Lord? It might surprise you when I say, yes, yes, there is one thing that is too hard for the Lord. It is too hard for God to go back on the promises that God has made to His people. God is capable of doing anything and everything, but there is one thing that God will not do. God will not go back on the promises that God makes to His people. God will not go back on the promises that He makes to you. Which brings us to our text for today, when after Jeremiah has made this insane purchase, who buys a field when the nation is about to fall? Jeremiah's purchase reminds us that the day is coming, a future day, when God will see His people through their calamity. In the meantime, God is at work. Even when people cannot see the hand of God at work, God is working to bring to fulfillment every promise that God has made to His people. God is at work to bring to fulfillment the promises that God has made to you. We know that because of what God has done in fulfilling His greatest promise of them all, the promise of our salvation through the cross of Jesus Christ. In this season of the year, we are making our way to Calvary and to the empty tomb. Let us never forget that while on this earth, Jesus journeyed down His own blood alley on His way to the cross to pay a price for our sins and our transgressions that we would never be able to pay, and that God was at work in the life and the death of Jesus in a way that only God might do. I think of that time in Gethsemane's garden when Jesus became acutely aware of where His blood alley path was taking Him. It was on the night before His crucifixion that Jesus had gathered with His disciples in Gethsemane's garden. You know that story. Jesus began to pray to God about what God had given Him to do because Jesus had questions. Jesus had lots of questions. And so Jesus prayed. Do you remember the prayer? Lord, if it's possible. Lord, if You are able. God, if You see fit, take this cup of His death, take this cup from me, if it is possible. And yet, the more Jesus prayed, the more Jesus remembered the promises of God, what God had sent Him to do, to make the perfect sacrifice. As the book of Hebrews reminds us, without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sin. There is no return to prosperity of any type. There is no restoration of our fortunes without the shedding of blood. And so Jesus became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Jesus in Gethsemane's garden set His hope entirely upon God. And this morning, it may be that setting your hope entirely on God is the very thing that you need to do. So that God might make His presence known in your life in such a way that you feel empowered and encouraged and more able to stand in the face of whatever challenge may have come your way. To know that God has not given up on you, that God is not facing something that is beyond His control, that God will see you through in the same way that God saw Jesus through the valley of the shadow of death to a place of eternal life. I'm reminded of the story of the dear saint who was facing some significant challenges in her life, health challenges, and financial challenges, and relational challenges. Many of you are facing those same sorts of challenges even this very hour. A friend called to check on how she was doing, said to her, "I'm so sorry that you're going through this time. I wish that I could take it all away." And the dear saint thought for a moment And she answered, "Yes, this is a tough time. I never, never would have thought that I would be in this condition." And then her tone changed as she began to think about the foundation of her faith. She said to her friend, as she looked at her hands, "There are no nails in my hand." And then she began to feel around her brow, the brow of her forehead. She said to her friend, "There are no thorns on my brow." And then she gave this incredibly strong testimony in the face of the challenges that she was experiencing. "He had the nails. I have the hope. He had the thorns. I have the hope." You may be here this morning and looking for direction, looking for some word of information that will see you through this most challenging of times. The cross is all the direction you need. The cross of Christ is all of the information that you should require. God is in control. That's what the cross says. God watches over His own. God is faithful to His promises. Nothing is too hard for Him. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Our Father and our God, we thank You for the blessed assurance that we have in Your Son, our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising its shame, because He trusted in Your promises. Father, His grace is indeed sufficient for our every need. So let us, in this present time of challenge, follow even harder after Jesus, taking up our cross to go along His way, because through His shed blood, our sins have been forgiven, and one day our fortunes will be restored, and we will be brought to a place of rejoicing yet again. Until that time comes, make us mindful of Your presence so that we might learn to live with the questions, because we know the answer, Jesus, in whose name we do pray. Amen.